Luke chapter 7. In the book of Luke chapter 7, we're going to begin there in verse 36 today. Book of Luke chapter 7, we'll begin there in verse 36. We'll read our text here in just a few moments. The title of my message this morning is A Hallelujah Homecoming. A Hallelujah Homecoming. Luke chapter 7, we'll begin there in verse 36 here in just a couple of moments. But wanted to talk to you, since it's homecoming, wanted to talk to you about one of the best homecomings that I see in the Scriptures. There in Luke chapter 7, beginning there in verse 36. Now, all of us have more than likely here this morning that we have a home that we reside in, that we're going to go to after the service today. But we also, there is a home that is coming. Does that make sense? We have a home that is coming. We have a place that we're looking forward to, that one of these days that we are going to be in our home. Jesus said that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house are many mansions. And so we will be with the Lord Jesus one of these days in our new home there in eternity. But not everybody has that kind of home that's coming. There will be some other folks that have another home that is on the way, and that is, of course, the place the Bible calls hell. But we all have a home coming, and so there is a place for every single one of us, and we need to make sure that we know what home is coming our way. You need to make sure you're saved this morning. You need to make sure that you know that you are saved, undoubtedly saved, eternally saved, without any question whatsoever. If there is any kind of inkling, any thought whatsoever in your mind that you may be lost today, then you need to make sure that you know exactly what home is coming for you. And so as we talk about a hallelujah homecoming this morning, I want this message to really drive home to your heart. I want you to really think about it and put yourself in this lady's position, because as we examine her life today and see what went on with her and what a great homecoming that she had, it is going to be such a blessing. And so let's take a look at it here, Luke chapter 7, and let's begin there in verse 36. And I got a few truths that I want to share with you today. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Let's begin here in verse 36. The Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. One of the things I want us to see today is the Lord Jesus here in the next few texts below that. We'll get that here in a minute. As he gives an illustration of the differences between this man, between the Pharisee and this woman that is there with him. And I want us to see a few differences today. You can jot these things down. Those of you that take notes, there are some differences between this Pharisee and this woman that the Bible says is a sinner. Some differences is this. I believe that whenever the Pharisee, the Bible says there in verse 36, the Bible says that one of them, he desired that he would eat with him. And so, of course, it was a notable thing. The fame of Jesus was being spread around, and so everybody was beginning to know who Jesus is. And so the Pharisee, what he wanted to do was he wanted to have the honor of being able to have Jesus come and come to his house and to have dinner with him. He wanted to have that honor. He wanted to receive that. I had Jesus come and stay at our place. And so I think one of the differences between him and this lady is this. Difference is this: is he was more willing to have fellowship, but the lady was more willing to have a relationship. And there's a difference between fellowship and relationship. He was more willing to have that honor. You know, he wanted to be recognized he wanted to receive the recognition from society. He wanted to see the recognition. Hey, Jesus, come and stay at my place. He wanted to see the recognition, but she wanted to receive the reconciliation. Does that make sense? Yeah, he wanted fellowship, but she wanted relationship. He wanted to be recognized, but she wanted reconciliation. What else was it? What I think he wanted Jesus to come stay at his house because he was curious, but she was serious. She was curious, but he was serious. She was serious. Now, what else is there? The fourth thing is this. I think that he wanted the Lord Jesus to come because he wanted to know more about the man.
and she wanted to know a little bit more about the Savior. And there's a difference. And so there's some differences between the Pharisee here and this woman. Now, whenever we look at her life, notice, let's take a look at a few things. The Bible says there in verse 36, the Bible says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meet. Now, very first truth here, coming in verse 37, watch it now. The Bible says, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Now, that place right there where the Bible says, behold, a woman, you know, you can put your own name right there because we're all what? We're all sinners. And so you can put your own name right there. You know, it doesn't necessarily just say, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. But that could be replaced with, behold, Brian in that city. He was a sinner. Or behold, you or, and all of you this morning. You put your name in that particular spot right there where it says woman, because that's who we are. That's what we were. We're sinners, but hey, we were lost on our way to a devil's hell. But Jesus came and saved us. We accepted him as our Savior. And so now we're sinners on our way to heaven. But right there in that text, you could put your own name right there where it says, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Now let's take a look at it. The very first truth is this. There in verse 37, the very first truth is that we see her sin. The Bible says that she was a sinner. So what kind of sinner was she? Well, obviously it was noted and seen that she was probably a lady that was a prostitute in the city. She was looked down upon society. She was a woman. She was the brunt of everybody's jokes. She was this lady was the lady that when everybody saw her, they just kind of looked at her, turned their snoot up at her and thought, you know what? She's nasty. She's gross. She's disgusting. Nobody wants to be around her. Nobody wants to spend time with her. Nobody had a desire to help her. The religious system didn't have a desire to help her. All they did was look down their nose on those that were not as what they thought as good as they are and as great as they are. And so they looked, she was looked down on society. She was a person that was just that was seen as the example of what you do not want to be. She was looked at as that woman in society that, listen, you don't want to be like her. You don't want to have nothing to do with her. I mean, look the kind of life that she lives, and I mean, how can anything like that ever be cleaned up? How can something like that ever become to look great? I mean, just look at her. Look at her life. And so she was really looked at really down in society. So we see that she was a sinner. But you know what? All of us this morning are sinners. We're all sinners right now, but think about the life that we had before we got saved. I mean, how was we living? Think about the things that you used to do. Think about the things that we were a part of and how we used to think and how we used to operate in our own personal lives. And this is where she was. But we see right here that this lady, she was lost. She needed to be saved. And she was at this point in her life where she says, you know what? Things have got to change. Something's got to change in my life. Something needs to be different. And so she was searching and she was longing and she was looking for some change, looking for something to be different in her life. And whenever she turned and looked at the religious crowd just looked down upon her, didn't even want her, didn't want to talk to her, didn't want nothing to do with her. I mean, she was looked at as an unclean person. Don't even touch her. Don't even talk to her. Don't even have her around. But you see, that's what she desperately needed the most. That's what she needed the most. She needed someone to help her. She needed someone to guide her, and she needed some direction, and she needed to see that there was some hope in life. Because listen, there's a lot of people today that are just like this woman. I'm talking man and woman alike. A lot of people just like her that feel the same way. They feel like, what's the point in going on? What's the point in keep moving forward? I mean, look at how I'm living, and nobody wants to help me, and nobody has a desire to spend any time with me. And so she was in a very desperate situation in her life. A very depressed woman probably, and I imagine her heart was broken, her spirit was broken, and she needed someone to love her. That's what she needed. You ever needed somebody just to love you? Just to want somebody to love you. And that's what she needed. Just to feel cared about, just to feel wanted, you know. She was very lonely. I imagine she was a very lonely person. Because nobody in society in that town there wanted to be with her. Nobody wanted to be friends with her. Everybody knew the kind of life that she lived. And, oh, this woman's a prostitute. But let me tell you something. She wouldn't have been a prostitute if a man wouldn't help her be that way. Amen? That's exactly right. If there is no demand, there would be no supply. Does that make sense? And so the men were just as guilty as that woman. But they didn't look at it like that. She was a filthy, nasty, dirty woman, and nobody wanted her around. And so she was a very lonely person. And so we see her sin. We see the kind of person that she was. We see what's going on in her life. But understand this morning that we are exactly the same way in many aspects, that we are sinners, that we're lost, we're on our way to a devil's hell, and we were out there living a life, doing our thing, and we saw that, hey, it's not working out. The pleasure of sin is not as great as I thought it would be, because the consequences far outweigh any kind of pleasure that we get out of this sin. And here she was. Reaping the consequences of this sinful life out here in this world. And so we see her here as the sinner. But take a look at the next thing. Notice what else do we see. Not only do we see her as the sinner, but the next thing that we see about her is we see her supposition. The Bible says there in verse 37, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, and when she knew," that's what supposition is, she knew that Jesus was coming. She knew that he was coming. She began to prepare for this meeting. See, the Pharisee, he wanted the Lord Jesus to come and dwell in his house and have dinner and sit around and talk and have fellowship. But you see, she wanted more than that. She didn't want the recognition from society, because she wasn't getting that already. She wanted reconciliation. She wanted things to be different. She wanted a different life. She wanted a better life. And listen, when we strive in our hearts not to have the recognition of society, but just to have fellowship with the Lord, not to have recognition from everybody else, but just to have fellowship with God, then things change in your heart, because you're looking for it from a different place. Looking for a different place, not from the world or from different people, but you're looking for it from the Lord. And so the Bible shows us here her supposition. She knew that Jesus was on the way. She had heard that Jesus was coming. Now watch, you look over there in verse 45. Notice what Jesus said about that when he was talking to the Pharisee. He says, when he's talking to the Pharisee, he says, "Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." See, she was there before Jesus even got there. She showed up on the scene before Jesus even got there. And so you can imagine, everybody knows that Jesus is now coming to the Pharisee's house. They had this thing all planned out and announced it to everybody. Jesus is coming at such and such a time. She heard about it. And so what'd she do? She prepared for this meeting. She prepared for this meeting, and the Bible shows us that she went home, obviously. She gathered some things together, and she went down there to the Pharisee's house. She didn't go inside, but she went down there to the Pharisee's house, and she stood outside, waiting on the Lord Jesus to come by. She stood out there waiting on the Lord Jesus to come by. Jesus said, he said, "This woman, since the time I came in," she was there whenever he came in, "this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." And so we see her supposition. She was preparing herself. She was getting herself ready to meet the Lord. Now this morning we see ourselves as sinners. We know we're lost. The Bible says that all of us have gone our own way, that there's none righteous, no, not one, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. So what do we do about that? Listen, we spend our time out here in the world. We spend our time out here doing the worldly things. We see what it's got us. We see what it's brought us. And so what is there that we can do about it? Well, let's prepare our hearts to meet Jesus. Prepare our hearts to meet the Lord. Let's get our hearts ready. Let's get our hearts prepared to see him and talk to him and meet with him and look forward to that moment when we get saved. And so she knew Jesus was coming. And so we see her supposition. She began to plan. She began to get ready, because she was excited about meeting Jesus. She was excited about meeting this one that she knew could forgive her of her sin, because she was looking forward to reconciliation, not recognition. She wanted to be reconciled to the Savior. She wanted to be forgiven of her sins. She wanted her name written down there in that Lamb's Book of Life. That's what she was looking for, and that's what she desired in her heart. So not only do we see her supposition, but we also see there in verse 37 her sacrifice. The Bible says that she was a sinner when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. The Bible said she brought an alabaster box of ointment, which shows us that she came prepared. She brought this box of perfume and this bottle of perfume, and she had this with her. And so what was that for? What was that all about? I mean, why did she bring this? She was bringing this as a gift to the Lord. She was bringing something to Him. And this was a sacrifice. I mean, I'm sure she worked for it, done whatever it is that she had to do to get this perfume. And so it was something that she wanted to offer Him something that morning. Something that may have been nearly maybe the only thing that she had. You know, you say, what can I offer the Lord Jesus this morning that's the only thing of real great value that I have? And that is you. That's yourself. What can I give Jesus today? You can give Jesus yourself. You can offer Jesus your soul. What does the Bible say? The Bible talks about the soul. The Bible says, the Bible shows us that our soul is more valuable than anything in the whole world. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? She came to Jesus. She came to Jesus for reconciliation, not recognition. She wanted to be there. She wanted to be there to meet Him whenever He came, to see Him when He walked through the door of that tent. And she came with her heart prepared. She came with her heart ready. She knew what she was going to do. She had this thing all planned out, because when He gets there, He's going to come in. I'm going to have my gift with me that I'm going to present Him. And when He comes in, she had this thing planned out in her mind, this thing planned out in her head. And she was preparing herself to meet the Lord. And she was wanting to give Him something, offer Him something. And let me tell you something, the best thing that you can give Jesus today is yourself. Yourself. Offer Him yourself. You say, what can I'm already saved. I've gave Him the most important thing that I can. What else can I give Him? We can give him our recognition. We can give Him our time. We can give Him our love. There's so many different things that we can give the Lord even though we're saved. But the best thing that you can do today is just give Jesus your life. Give the Lord your life. So not only do we see her sacrifice, but what else do we see in this text? Notice the Bible says there in the verse that she knew that he sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at His feet behind Him weeping. So now there in verse 38, we see her sorrow. We see her sorrow. And whenever you see that, you read that text, you see Jesus, He's already come in. He's already come in. He's already sat down. They've already began the festivities. And she's sitting outside the door. I imagine she's sitting out there. She knows that Jesus has went in. She was standing here. She saw Him go in. The Pharisees are in there. There's other people in there. And she's standing outside this tent. And I imagine she's sitting there thinking to herself, okay, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. I came here prepared. I came here ready. I said, I'm gonna change my life today. I want things to be different today. And here's my opportunity. Because, see, she couldn't do that with anybody else. She knew that Jesus would probably listen. And so she's sitting here and she says, okay, this is my opportunity. So she walks inside. Can you imagine that moment, what it was like? Whenever she walked inside that door, that tent, and she's standing there. And the Lord Jesus is how they did back then whenever they ate, is they would lay down and lean upon their left shoulder. And they'd use their right hand to dip in to eat with and things like that. And so Jesus is laying there, and all the other folks, they're laying there, and they're all eating, all propped up on their left shoulder. And they're all laying there, and they're talking, and they're eating. And then this lady comes in. And she's standing there, and she's standing there at His feet. And the Bible says that she's weeping. She's weeping. She is there and she is sobbing, standing there in front of everybody. And she's standing there and she's sobbing and she's weeping. And so we see her sorrow. Well, where was this sorrow coming from? I mean, what is this sorrow all about? She was sorrowful because she sees where her life is. She saw where she was. That where she was going was a fog. It didn't even look like she had a future. It looked like nothing was there. She was looking at where she was at. She was trying to look into the future and she didn't see nothing. It was dark. It was a blank. It was like nothing was even there. It's like she had no hope whatsoever. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. And she's standing here, and I imagine she probably looked back at her life as she was standing there in that moment, looking back at her life, thinking about her life, how everything turned out, how whenever she was a little girl, she never thought that things would turn out this way, that maybe she never thought she'd ever become this kind of person, or that she would ever live in this kind of sin, or that she would ever be downgraded like this in society. But now here she is, standing here at the feet of Jesus, standing there, weeping sorrowfully. Now, you imagine to yourself, the second, as the next truth is, we see her sorrow. You imagine yourself. How many of you remember that day you got saved? Remember that day you got saved? How many of you remember, and you don't have to raise your hand for this, but even though you were saved and you were living your Christian life, but there was this moment or this time in your Christian life where you failed God miserably. I mean, where you was just thought to yourself, how in the world could God ever love me after something like this? I mean, you just failed God miserably. And you begin to think to yourself, and you begin to think, man, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have done this or said this or went there or whatever it was. And your heart began to break. Your spirit was breaking inside of you. And you came to Jesus because he's the only one that you knew could ever do anything about it. And so you came to Jesus and you were standing there sorrowful, weeping, crying. How many have ever wept over your sin? Cried about your own sin? You know, and that's where she was at. She was crying. She was weeping, thinking about who she was and how her life has been. And it seemed like she had no hope whatsoever. And there she was at this moment. That was her standing. Let me ask you this today. What is your standing? How are you standing before the Lord this morning? Are you standing before God with a broken heart? Is your heart weeping? Are you sorrowful today? Because of the life that you have, because of the life that you lived, and you're wondering, how in the world could God ever love me now? How in the world would God ever want to forgive me the things I've done and where I've been and the kind of life? How would God ever even want me now? And that's where she was. And she came and she stood there weeping because she understood who she was and what she had done. And so we see her sorrow this morning. And when I read about her sorrow and I see her standing there, just I can see her in my mind standing there. And all these other people sitting around and they're just looking at her. Just looking at her. Thinking, what in the world's wrong with her? What is she even doing in here? I mean, does she know that she shouldn't even be in here? Hey, you know what? This church right here, it's a hospital. And in a hospital, you know what people do? Everybody that needs help goes in the hospital. Amen? That's why we're all here, because we all need help. Amen? This church is a hospital. We come in here so that we can receive some help and God can speak to our hearts and we can encourage and fellowship with each other. And so she was coming. And she came there to see Jesus, not nobody else. She didn't come in there to see him, didn't come in there to see her, didn't come in for any of these other people. She came in there to see Jesus. And listen, when we come to church, that's the first thing that's on our mind. I'm going to church so I can meet Jesus today. Amen. I'm coming to the house of God so that I can meet Jesus. I want to hear from the Lord. I want God to speak to my heart because I know that I need some change. I know that something needs to take place in my life and things need to be different. And that's why she was there. That's why she was there. So we see her sorrow. We see her sorrow. But what else do we see? Not only do we see her sorrow, and not only do we see her standing, but notice we see the Bible says there in verse 38, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. Wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head. So now we see she's done a little something different. She's not standing anymore. Now she's on her knees. She's not standing there anymore. Now she's on her knees. And so now we see her sentiment. Her sentiment. How much she cares. How much she loves. We now see this woman. She was standing there in front of everybody, and she was crying, and she was weeping. She was broken. And now where do we see her? She's not standing anymore. You know what she's doing now? She's on her knees. And Jesus, he's laying there, and his feet is coming across this way. And she's standing there, and she gets all the way down on her knees. And in order for her to cleanse his feet with her hair, what does she have to do? She has to let it down, right? We see back then in that day, a woman didn't walk around with her hair let down because it was considered seductive. And you didn't do that. And you pulled your hair up. And so now here she is in the house of the Pharisee. Everybody in town knows who she is, knows the kind of life that she lives. But she's there because she wants to receive some help. She wants some change. And she's not standing anymore. She wants her life to be different. So now she gets on her knees and she lets her hair down, and she begins to wash his feet with the tears that are falling from her eyes. And she uses her hair to wash his feet. Now, a woman's hair was considered to be her glory. Her glory. Now, here she is washing his feet with the tears that are falling from his face, falling from her face, kissing his feet. So we can see the admiration and the love that she had for her Savior, for the Lord Jesus. She wanted him to know that she loved him and that she was going to trust in him and she was willing to do anything. And it didn't matter who was standing around. It didn't matter what they thought. She shouldn't be doing this. She shouldn't even be in here, the kind of woman she is. Not only that, but look what she did. She came in here and she even took her hair down and she began to wash the Lord Jesus' feet with her hair. I mean, how seductive is that? And the Pharisee sitting there thinking the whole time, I can't believe Jesus is allowing this to happen. I mean, what kind of man is he? And here she is kissing his feet, washing his feet with her hair. And so we see her love that she had towards the Lord. But not only do we see her sentiment, but what else do we see? Notice the Bible also shows us. Look there in verse 39. The Bible says, "Now when the Pharisees which had bitten him saw it, he spake within himself." He began to speak. The Pharisees, he began to talk in his heart. And he said, he didn't say this out loud, he said it in his heart. And he said, "This man," talking about Jesus, "if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And I believe, we see here in our text, the Bible says that he would have known what woman this is that touches him. And as I studied that text, I thought to myself, you know, it was this woman's humbleness that touched the Lord. And it was the Pharisee's pride that kept him at a distance. Because this woman was touching the Savior. How do you touch the Savior? How do you touch the heart of God? How do you do that? She did. She touched God's heart. How do you touch God's heart? You stop standing up and thinking you're something, and you get down on your knees and recognize who you are and you need some help. That you need to get saved. That your life does need to change. That things that you need to see Him. That you can't go to the world and seek everybody else. That there's only one that can change your life. There's only one that can save you. There is only one person that can give you everything that you need. And that is the Lord Jesus. And it doesn't matter who's standing around. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. She was going to come in there, and she was bound and determined for her life to be different. She was bound and determined for things to change. She was not going to keep living her life that way. She wasn't going to keep going in that direction, but she wanted something different for her life. And listen, the only time things are going to be different for your life is when you stop standing and start kneeling. You stop standing and just start kneeling. And you say, "God, this is who I am. I know I need some help. I know I need some help. And God, I know that you can do it. I know that you're the only one that can change my life. And Lord, that's why I'm here. And I'm not worried about what everybody else thinks. Lord, I'm here for you to change my heart, to change my life. And the Bible says there in the text, the Pharisee, he said, if this man, if he was a prophet, if he was who he said he was, then he would have known what kind of woman this is that touches him. As you see, Jesus already knew what kind of woman this was that was touching him. He already knew what kind of woman she was. He already knew what her sins were. He already knew what kind of life that she lived. But he didn't get out of the way because he wanted her to touch his heart. See, the Pharisees didn't want her. They wanted her at a distance. The Lord Jesus wanted to bring her up close. Bring her up close. Jesus wanted her to touch him. What about you this morning? Where are you at? Are we standing there in our pride? Are we standing there in our pride thinking that we're this and, you know, that we're... Or are we going to get down on our knees and we're going to say, God, I need some... How many of you know you need help this morning? All of us. Man, we need some help this morning. We all know we need help today. And so she understood that she needed some help. And so she come to the Lord Jesus. And so we see her sentiment. But we also see her scoffers there in verse 39. Scoffers, her scorners. If Jesus would have, if he was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is. For she's a sinner. And so we see her scorners. Hey, listen, don't be surprised whenever you try to live for the Lord, there'll be other people out there, even the religious crowd, that'll scorn you and scoff at you because you're trying to turn your life around, because you're trying to do something different, because you're trying to live right. Listen, the devil would love nothing more than to bring discouragement into your life for trying to live right and do right. How many of you ever realize that whenever it's when you're doing everything you can to try to live for the Lord, that it seems like sometimes that's when a lot of the most of the discouragement comes your way? Because the devil wants to do everything he can to pound that desire for you to live for God out of your life. He wants to do everything he can to pound that out of your life. And he'll use the scoffers. And he'll use the scorners. And he'll use these people and those people. He'll even use the religious crowd, the ones that say that they know Christ and the ones that profess to know the Bible. And he'll even use those people right there to discourage you and bring you down. And he was saying within his heart, man, if the Lord knew who she, if Jesus really knew who she was, man, he wouldn't allow her to do that. He wouldn't even let this vile, nasty, disgusting person even touch him. And there he is, not doing anything about it. You see, the Pharisee was looking at her. He was misjudging the whole situation. The Pharisee was looking at her, thinking to himself, this lady is a prostitute. I mean, this lady is, she is nothing. She is nothing to society. If she was gone, nobody would even care. And he is looking at her nasty, disgusting life, and he says, you know what? She's taking her hair down. You know, now she's washing the feet of Jesus. This prostitute is on her knees at the feet of Christ, and here she is washing his feet. I mean, how seductive can that be? And he's looking at this whole situation thinking, how in the world is the Lord letting that happen? And Jesus is laying there, and he sees this thing completely different. He sees a woman that's broken. He sees a woman that needs help. He sees a woman that needs love. The Bible shows us there in verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto Simon, that was the Pharisee's name, he says, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He says, Simon, he said, can I talk to you about something here for a minute? And here she is, washing his feet with her tears. And he says, Simon, you mind if I ask you something? He says, sure, go ahead. He says, there was a certain creditor. The creditor is representative of Jesus. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. Now, who are the two debtors? One's the Pharisee and one's the woman. He says, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now, she is illustrated as being the one that owes the 500 pence. The Pharisee is illustrated as maybe being the one that owes the 50. But notice what he says there in verse 42. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. So tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And he says, I suppose the one that was forgiven of the most. And he says, thou hast rightly judged. You say, what was Jesus trying to get him to see? Jesus was trying to get him to see, you know what? This lady right here, she may have lived this kind of life. She may have more things written against her that she is more accountable for as far as sin goes than maybe you do. He says, but you know what? Don't forget this. She may have owed 500 and he may have owed 50, but neither one of them had anything to pay. Does that make sense? Both of them were in debt. So did it really matter that much who owed who? No. What really mattered was that neither one of them had anything to pay. They couldn't pay on their own. They didn't have any way. And so Jesus says, as the creditor, I'll forgive them both. I'll forgive them both. And let me ask you something this morning. It doesn't matter, listen, it doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived. It doesn't matter if you've done this or done this or done that. Your whole life. And then you got a person over here that maybe they grew up in church and hadn't done as many things as maybe you have, and maybe their sin account maybe is not quite as long as maybe you think yours would be. But the whole point is this. They may owe 500 and you may owe 50, but both of you are broke. And you can't do anything about it. And Jesus says, I'm the only one that can forgive the debt. I'm the only one. So this morning, no matter what you think about yourself and no matter what society thinks about you, if you have a desire in your heart to turn your life around and do better and get your heart right with God and you want to serve Him and worship Him from this point on, then that's what you focus on. That's what you concentrate on. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the world says. Listen, everybody out there is always going to have an opinion. Amen? How many of you know everybody's got an opinion? Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion, and their opinion's not always going to be your opinion, and that's okay. But listen, their opinion doesn't matter as much as what God knows. And so you concentrate on you living your life for Christ from this point on, not focusing so much on where you have been, but focusing more on where you're going. So we see her scorners. We see her scorners, and we also see her situation. We see her situation. Jesus even showed right there that, listen, she had a sin debt that she couldn't pay. He used that illustration there for the creditors. Listen, he's broke and she's broke. Both of them are in a desperate situation. Both of them are debtors, and both of them have no way of paying the sin debt. That's a desperate situation. You ever been in a desperate situation before? Yeah, and that's where she was. She was in a desperate situation. And so what could she do? She could do the only thing that she could do, and that was come to the Lord Jesus, who is the only one that could forgive her of everything that she's done. How many of you like the idea of being forgiven? Hey, that's a great feeling. How many have ever been forgiven before? Anybody? Yeah, y'all all been forgiven? I tell you what, when you get forgiven, there's nothing greater than that, is that sense of forgiveness. And now fellowship is restored. Relationship is better. And so we see her situation. And so after the Lord Jesus gives this illustration, look there in verse 44. And the Bible says, and he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, he said, seest thou this woman? I think what he wanted the Pharisee to do was, I think he really wanted him to look at this woman. Because you see, she wasn't a woman that everybody wanted to look at. He says, you see this woman. I mean, I don't mean just kind of graze by like she's not there. I mean, look at her. Look at her life. Look what she is doing right now. And then you tell me what you are doing right now. I mean, you look at her. Look at her, Simon. I mean, look at her life. Look at her heart. Look how broke she is. But also look at the fact that she is coming to me for some help. She's coming to the right place. I don't want you just to, don't just look past her. Look beyond her, beside of her, like she's not there. I want you to see her. You look at her. And he says, seest thou this woman? He says, I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. You see, the Jewish tradition was because they walked around in such dusty, dirty ground, and they all wore sandals. They didn't have Reeboks like we have today. And they wore these sandals. And so when they walked around, their feet got dirty everywhere they went. So whenever you went to somebody's house, you know, you're a guest in their home, they would have a water basin there where you could wash your feet before you went in. And Jesus came inside his house, the Pharisee's house, and was not offered the traditional welcome to my place. He wasn't offered that. He wasn't given that. And so Jesus comes in his house. He doesn't get any of the traditional welcome to my home. It's like somebody coming to your home and you don't even acknowledge that they're there. Yes, come on to my house. And then they come over to your house and you don't even speak to them. You don't even say hey to them. You don't even shake their hand. Now if somebody invited you to come to your house, invited you to come to their house and you got there, and they didn't talk to you, and they didn't shake your hand, they didn't welcome you in any kind of way, what would you do? You'd be standing there thinking, what in the world is going on around here? I'll just leave and go home. But you see, Jesus, he didn't get any of that, but he stayed anyways. He stayed anyways. And I believe he stayed because of that woman outside and because he wanted to teach the Pharisee a lesson. And so here this woman, she comes in, and he says, you know what, Simon? He says, you didn't offer me no water to cleanse my feet. You didn't offer me nothing to refresh myself, to cleanse my feet. But you know what the lady did? She stood there. She washed his feet with the tears that fell from her face. Because Jesus had dirty feet when he got there, and the Pharisees didn't offer any kind of way of cleaning that, of refreshing him, being a blessing to him. But this old, sinful, nasty, dirty woman that nobody has any respect for is doing more for the Lord than this religious crowd is. And here she is washing his feet with the tears that fall down from her face. And then notice what else he says. He says, I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Total humility. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. Because you see, not only did they allow you some water there to wash your feet, but when you came in, they would kiss each other on the cheek. It was a way of saying, welcome to my place. Kind of like whenever we come inside, we don't kiss each other when we come in. But what do? Hey, welcome to Gospel Light. It sure is good to have you with us today. Welcome. They welcomed them in. Whether it's to the church or whether it's to your home, you welcome them in. And he says, you know what, since I got here, you didn't even give me a kiss. You didn't even welcome me into your home. But since I've been in here, not only has she washed my feet with the tears that fell from her face, but she's also hasn't even stopped kissing my feet since I've been in here. He says, you didn't do none of this stuff. And you're the religious crowd. And she's that one that nobody wants anything to do with. And then the Bible says there in verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Because the other tradition was that you welcome somebody in that day, and they were out here in the world, and they were hot, and they were sweaty, and they were walking around, is that you would provide them with a little bit of, almost like a perfume to put on them. To refresh them. And he didn't offer any of that. But she brought her own. And I thought about this yesterday. I thought about it and thought about it and thought about this fact. Now you think about this. She knew that Jesus was going to be there. She brought her own ointment with her. And the Pharisees never even offered him any of that. It's almost like she knew that they wouldn't treat the Lord like he needed to be treated. She brought it with her. I mean, she brought it with her. She was prepared to greet Jesus like he was supposed to be greeted, because she knew the Pharisees wouldn't do it. She was already prepared for that. And what do we see? We see her service. And here she is, humbly on her knees, serving God. And the Pharisees are sitting there scorning her and scoffing at her and talking about her and thinking all these different things about her when she's doing more for the Lord than they are. What else do we see? We're almost done. The Bible says there in verse 47, He says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee." So what do we see there in verse 48? We see her sanctification. We see when the Lord Jesus, he says, your sins are now forgiven. Her sanctification. Your sins are gone. Your sins are not here anymore. Your sins have been washed, completely cleansed away. There is now nothing that can ever be said about you and how you lived your life, because it's all gone. It's all forgotten about. You know, there's some things that are good to forget. Amen? There's some things that are good to forget. There are some things it's good to have some amnesia about. We don't need to remember everything, because not everything's worth remembering. We need to forget some things. And the Bible says that whenever your sins are forgiven, that they're cast into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. As far as the east is from the west, so are your sins forgiven. They're cast behind my back. I'll never even see them again. And that's what he gave her. And he gave her that because she humbled herself before him. And she got down on her knees. She knew that she needed to change. She knew that her life needed to be different. And she came to Christ, who is the only one that can do it. While the Pharisee just stayed back. Didn't want anything to do with it. And all he did was criticize and judge and scorn. That's all he did. But here this woman got down on her knees and started to serve God. I look forward to meeting her in heaven one day. What a great example she set. The Bible says there in verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And verse 49, and he said, and they sat at meat with him, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within himself, who is this that hath forgiven sins also? See, they didn't know who Jesus was. They was more concerned about knowing the man. She was more concerned about knowing the Savior. And there in verse 50, he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Her salvation which gave her the sanctification that she needed. And then he said, go in peace. That's serenity. Her serenity. And so we see there in verse 50, she got saved. The Lord Jesus saved this woman. He gave her what nobody else could. He knew who she was. He wanted her to touch him, and she did. And because she did, despite the scorners and the scoffers, she got saved. And then right there in front of everybody, publicly, Jesus, in essence, lifted her up to a place where she had never been, in front of everybody. He says, your faith has saved thee. And he said, go in peace. Now you think about that. Go in peace. He was telling her, showing her she's leaving different than she came in. You know what that is? That's a hallelujah homecoming. That's what that is. She was leaving different than she came in. And that's what we do here when we come to church. We come here, we're hurting, we need to hear from God, we need the Lord Jesus, we need to touch the heart of God, we need God to touch us in return. And we give ourselves to Him, and we serve Him as humbly as we can. And we don't pay attention to the scoffers and the scorners, because the opinion of Christ matters a whole lot more than everybody else. And we allow Jesus to move and work in our hearts and our lives to change us and mold us and make us into something we've never been, to put us in a place where we've never been in our life, and to tell us so we can leave better and different than when we came. When she came there, she was crying and broken. Now he's saying you can leave in peace, fixed, healed and in peace in your heart, knowing that everything with me is good. And I don't know where you're at today in your personal life, but that right there, that's a hallelujah homecoming. And I don't know if I can't see inside your heart. You're the only one that knows if you're saved or lost. You're the only one that can see that. The Bible says, let every man work out his own salvation. But here today, if you know you're not saved, you can get saved. Or if you're already saved and you've gotten away from God, you can come back. You can come back. Let's pray.